Matthew chapter 14. And we'll read in Matthew 14, beginning with verse 22. Matthew 14 and verse 22. And straightway, or immediately, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway or immediately Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the ship, he walked in the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And now in John chapter 6, and we'll read of the same incident, beginning with verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed unto again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, the disciples went down unto the sea and entered into the ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, 3 or 4 miles, I should say, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh to the ship. And they were afraid. But he saith unto them, "It is I. Be not afraid." Then they willingly received him in the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Jesus sent them over to the other side, his disciples. His disciples were sent to the other side, but it says he sent the multitudes away. The only ones that are going to make it over to the other side are his disciples. We see the Lord Jesus sobbing over Jerusalem. "Oh, if thou had known, only known, the day of thy visitation, the day of peace." And he sobbed as he looked over Jerusalem. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children as a hen gathereth her brood under her wings, and ye would not. I would, and ye would not." The Lord Jesus divides humanity into two classes, the woods and the would not. Whosoever will, and whosoever won't, the only ones that are going to make it over to the other side are his disciples. And sadly, he's going to have to send the multitudes away. What sad words they will be when the Lord Jesus will say, "Depart from me. Depart from me. I never knew you." And how wonderful it is that he extends an invitation to all men, young and old, boys and girls, parents and grandparents, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus sent them to the other side. The disciples went down into the ship, and they started out on this journey. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not with them. That's the situation today. It's the night of our Lord's absence, and he hasn't come yet, but he is going to come. Jesus was not come to them. And they start out on this journey, and there arose a great wind that blew, and the wind was contrary to them. Why did the Lord send them across the sea when he knew that this great contrary wind was going to come against them? Well, that's precisely what he's done for every one of his disciples. He has told us, in the world ye shall find tribulation. It's not going to be an easy life for the believer. For it's given unto you in the behalf of Christ, the apostle writes, not only to believe on his name, but also to suffer for his sake. The world hated me, the Lord Jesus said, and the disciple is not above his master. A great and effectual door is open unto me, the apostle said, and there are many adversaries. There's a lot of opposition. We live in a world that's opposed to the things of God. A great wind blew. The wind was contrary to them. Oftentimes in our own personal experiences, we feel that everything is against us. We feel somewhat like Jacob, who in his despair cried out, "All these things are against me." That was his sigh. But we need to keep up in our hearts the song of the Apostle Paul. He said, "All these things are against me." That's what Jacob said. And the happiest years of his life were right ahead, because his son Joseph, his beloved son, was going to be restored to him. And Paul says, we know that all things work together for good to them that are the called according to his purpose. A great wind blew. We live in a world that is opposed to God. And the Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are ye when you're reviled, when ye suffer things for my name's sake." He says, "Great is your reward in heaven." And how good it is that in the midst of the darkness and distance that sin has brought, and separation between even families, we can rejoice in the Lord always. James writes, "Count it all joy when you fall into divers trials, knowing that the trial of your faith worketh patience." But Christians, we can become very despairing in the circumstances of life. There was a man years ago in England. He and John Newton were bosom buddies. And John Newton was one of these fellows that was always more or less on the mountaintop, and William Cowper was oftentimes down in the valley. And they lived near to each other. Oftentimes, William Cowper would become very discouraged. Sometimes even thought of taking his life. And on one occasion, he took a cab, and in those days, a horse-drawn cab, with the purpose of taking it down to the Thames River and jumping in and taking his life, committing suicide. But as they journeyed towards the Thames River, a thick fog settled down over London. And the cab driver lost his way. And by the time the clouds had lifted, William Cowper's spirits had lifted. And in commemoration of that particular event in his life, he wrote, "God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps on the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain." These disciples, Jesus had not come. You know where he was, though, the Bible tells us. He had gone in a mountain apart to pray alone. It is not the perseverance of the Savior, saints, that's going to keep us. It's the perseverance of the Savior. The Bible says we are being kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. The eternal God is thy refuge and underneath of the everlasting arm. When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, Christ must hold me fast. And aren't you glad, fellow believer, the Lord has got his grip on you? And he's never going to turn you loose. He which has begun a good work in you will complete it in the day of Jesus Christ. And you know, the Lord often permits us to go into the storm. He permitted Peter to go into the storm. He says, "Peter, Satan hath desired to have thee, he may sift thee as wheat. But now I will pray for you. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." Oh, fellow believer, isn't it wonderful to know that we have a Savior? A living Savior. One who lives in the power of an endless life. Not like the priests of the Old Testament who were not suffered, it says, to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever as an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able to save to the very end all that come unto God by him. The Lord Jesus said, you remember in John chapter 17, "Of all that the Father has given me, have I lost none." And if you can say this morning, like the psalmist says in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." You're a sheep of his. He's not going to lose any of his sheep. He says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." God brings his people through. He says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. The floods, they'll not overflow thee." He brings his people through. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." We can take assurance from the fact that he's with us every step of the day. We may not be able to see him. He's on the mountain apart praying, but he's with us. He has said, what has he said? He has said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So we may boldly say, "I will not fear what man can do unto me." How firm a foundation he sings to the Lord. He's laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you for refuge to Jesus that fled? When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Fear not, I am with thee Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I'll still give thee aid. I'll comfort thee, strengthen thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not. I will not desert to his foes. That soul to all hell should endeavor to shake. I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. Remember that word of Paul's in Romans chapter 8? He says, who is he that condemneth? Is Christ that died? Yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. We have a Savior. Not only died to save us, but he lives in the power of an endless life to keep us. And he's not going to leave one sheep behind. The psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, and surely goodness and mercy. Goodness because he's gracious, and mercy because I still sin. Goodness and mercy shall chase me. That's what it really says. All the days of my life, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yes, we have one who is praying for us. That's what it says. The disciples went down to the ship. Jesus was not come. And the sea rose by reason of a great wind that blew. And it says they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, 25 or 30 furlongs. A furlong is an eighth of a mile, so that'll give you an idea. Approximately 3 or 4 miles they had rowed, and the wind was contrary. The wind was against them. And they had a tough job. They had gotten about halfway across, and they got in the ship until when even was come, and they only had made it about to the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Halfway. And then they saw Jesus walking on the sea. You know, I found out this with these crutches. I can walk pretty good if it's level. If it's a level, you know. But going up on these hillsides, walking on crutches, you've got a Sunday school picnic if you try that. Well, you know, when he was crossing the sea, the Lord was walking in the water, and, you know, there were the crests and the valleys. You know, it wasn't flat. It wasn't flat, Tom. There was a great wind blowing, and it was whipping those waves up high, and the valleys, the Lord's walking up on the hill, down in the valley, up on the hill, down in the valley, walking us. Here we go, up and down. Well, that's what our life is like, isn't it? There were the hills and the valleys. There's the mountaintop experiences, and there's times when we're way down in the valley. Now, Lord Jesus, it says of the God in the Old Testament, he's the God of the hills and the valleys. You know, he's with us when we're up in the mountaintop, and he's with us when we're down in the valley. I always admired the courage of Peter. I wouldn't want to get out of a boat. You know, the Sea of Galilee, the average depth is 300 feet. And even if I wanted to swim, I wouldn't be particularly anxious to get overboard, right out in the middle of the lake. At all, I wouldn't want to get out of the boat. But on a stormy night, you know, the wind and the waves blowing everything. And, man, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. You see, Peter wasn't so much interested in walking on the water, but he wanted the Lord. He wanted the Lord, even if it meant he had to walk in the water to get to him. Bid me come unto thee. Is that who we want? In John chapter, first chapter of John's gospel, you know, these disciples are following him. No doubt one was John, the other we know was Andrew. And the Lord said, what do you want? Lord, where dwellest thou? We want to be where you are. Come and see. And you know, the Lord tests our faith. What do we really want? Do we want him? Is that really the desire of our heart? That we may know him, Paul says. That I may know him. Paul wasn't thrilled with knowledge, but he wanted to know a person, that I may know him. the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And I can imagine that Peter did walk in the water. He did walk in the water. The only man other than the Lord that I know of that walked in the water, unless it was frozen. He stepped out of that boat and he put his feet, and here's this wave coming way up on it. He puts that, and the next thing you know, he's down in the valley. Boy, oh boy, what have I done here? And man, he cries out. You know, because the fact of the matter is, whether it's walking in the water, we can't walk a single step without the Lord. It is not man that walketh to direct his steps. But you know, the wonderful thing is, the Lord gives the ability to walk to those who trust him, just one step at a time. It says in the 37th Psalm, in the 23rd verse, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And though he fall, like Peter did, he says, he shall not fall utterly, for the Lord holds him with his right hand. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know the Lord's got a hold of you? He's going to turn you loose. We can walk. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Peter began to sink. Because he began to sink, he cried out to the Lord. And the Lord reached out his hand and held him. Lord, save me. Jesus was not come to them, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. It rode 5 and 20 or 34 furlongs. Jesus walking the sea, drawing nigh the ship, and they were afraid. It's a wonderful thing to know that no matter where you go, no matter where you may be, the Lord is with you. He's promised to be with his people. He's promised that he's going to bring us safely to the other side, no matter what the difficulties we may experience in life. He which hath begun a good work in you will complete it in the day of Jesus Christ. There's no one in his own personal life that has not known something of stress and sorrow and storm. But we can look to a day when there's not going to be any more storm. When the Lord Jesus came, he gave Peter the ability to walk on the sea, even though it was a stormy sea, and he still does to that for you and me. And nothing happened as far as the water was concerned, as far as the storm was concerned, until the Lord Jesus got into the boat. And when they, it says, received him into the ship, immediately, the ship was at the land whither they went. It is the fastest boat trip in the history of the world. They had struggled all night. And the Lord Jesus came. We're told in Matthew when he came. It was the fourth watch of the night. The darkness was almost gone. It was the dawning of a new day. And those who are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, we're looking for not the darkness. The darkness will soon be past. But we're looking for the bright and morning star. Our Lord Jesus is going to come. And we were reminded the other day of the speed that is going to happen when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. He has promised, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am here, ye may be also. In a moment. And the word is the word Adam. And the Greek word means not divisible. It's so small a moment of time. You can't even divide it into seconds or minutes or whatever. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, The dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Every one of the Lord's disciples, they all made it to the other side. And all those who are Christ are going to make it to the other side. If your father is saved, and you're not saved, if the Lord Jesus Christ comes today, you will never see your father or mother again. It's a solemn thing. For the believer, it's a wonderful day to look forward to. The day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to claim his purchase, and he's going to take out of this world all redeemed. In a moment of time, we're going to be changed and to be like him. The day of all days is coming at last. The day of all days when sorrows are past. The day of all days when we, through his grace, shall see with delight his wonderful face. Some glorious morning, sorrows will cease. Some glorious morning, all will be peace. Heartaches all ended. School days all done. Heaven will open. Jesus will come. Oh, what a meeting there in the skies. No tears nor crying shall dim our eyes. Loved ones, united eternally. Oh, what a daybreak that morn will be. No wonder the Bible calls it that blessed hope. And we're looking for that blessed hope in the appearing of the glory of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Epistle of Hebrews calls it a sure hope, steadfast. It's like an anchor of the soul. It holds us in the world from going astray. And Paul and John calls it a purifying hope. Every man that has this hope in him, the hope of Christ's return, purifies himself even as he is pure. When I was a boy, oftentimes we would hear people speak about the Lord's coming, and perhaps there are some here. You were saved. You trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior because you realized that if the Lord came this moment and you were not saved, you would never see your father or your mother or your brother or your sister again. The day is coming when the Lord is going to send the multitudes away. The one who suffered and bled and died in order to make it possible for any man, for every man, to be in heaven, because the gospel is unto all. It's only upon all of them that believe, but it's unto all. It's available. And if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you hear those words, depart. From the very lips of the one who suffered and bled and died in order to make it possible for you to be in heaven, while he's ready to, willing to forgive you and to welcome you, receive you as a child of this family, he'll forgive you. You'll never, never, throughout an ending eternity, forgive yourself. You'll say, among the legions of the damned, oh, if I only had. I remember opportunities, times without number, when I should have, when I could have come to Christ. But I closed the door and said, Lord, depart from me. Oh, may God grant that you, together with every believer here, may rejoice in that hope that all is going to be changed when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. They willingly received him in the ship, and there was a great calm. Not only over that sea, but eternal peace. That's the portion of all who know and love the Lord Jesus. Shall we pray? Our Father, we're thankful for thy precious holy word, for this which thou hast recorded in thy word. how that though the storms of life beset these disciples, thou didst send them into the storm because they needed the storm and we need the storm. We can say with the psalmist, it was good for me that I was afflicted. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. We thank thee, Lord, for the tears and the trials of life, because we know that thou dost use them for our blessing. We know that the sad and the glad, the good and the bad, thou art working together for good. Not all is good. We thank thee, thou dost work all things together for good to those that love thee. And the day is coming when we'll bless the hand that guided, and we'll bless the heart that planned, when throne where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land, with mercy and with judgment, why when time he wove, though the dews of sorrow were lusted with his love. Impress on our hearts, our God, that while we're here, thou art with us. Thou dost never leave us nor forsake us. We may not see thee, but with the eye of faith, we know that thou art praying for us daily. Oftentimes we forget to pray. We thank thee, Lord, that we are being kept because thou art praying for us. And we thank thee that thy prayer is going to be answered, that not one of those that have been given to the Father are going to fail to make it. We're going to make it to the other side, not because of any wisdom, but because of thy matchless grace. We commend ourselves to thee today. Seek thy blessing and thy word to each of our hearts. In the name of our Lord Jesus.